So, so we went to Power Listener Andy and I went out to a bar to play trivia. We did not do super well, which was unfortunate. It wasn't our night. You know what I mean?
What was the question you didn't know?
There were a handful. Like, one of them was a timeline thing where it's like, all these three things happened in the same year, name the year. And I'm terrible about that. Like, I'm almost a Vonnegut character in that time seems to happen all at once for me.
I like Vonnegut. That's a good joke.
Yeah. Well, we're trying class to join up. But it was like the year that Nicholson won the Oscar for As Good As It Gets. It was the first year that we posted a budget surplus. Huh. And what was the other thing?
Those are just fucking guess.
Randy Moss was drafted to the NFL. Christ. Those were the three things. And we were only off by a year, surprisingly. Yeah. Mark was with us as well. Just again, one or night, couple of questions like that, just, you know, sometimes you look up and get them and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, but we stayed out super late, which I don't normally like. The last time I was in bed, like later than 10:30, like I have to think back to that. And except for last night when like we looked down, it's like, holy shit, it's 12:15 on a school night. And ever since then, I've been a little punchy, which is why I thought you guys just hadn't arrived yet or hadn't muted yourselves or something. And in reality, I just had my headphones unplugged and was staring at the computer screen like a doofus. Like, why won't they say nothing? Jeez.
That happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no shame.
I'm an old man. It hits me hard. And just the lack of sleep. Like, it wasn't a crazy amount of drinking or nothing. Just being up late. You know, like, I need to get up early so I can catch the early buffet, you know? Yeah.
I run on a pretty low amount of sleep. On average, I say I probably get about 5 hours of sleep a night.
I'm so jealous of that. I feel like garbage if I sleep that little.
sometimes it. The downside is, you know, you'll sit down on the couch, you know, after dinner or something to watch a little TV and you'll fall asleep for an hour because you're just fucking tired. But then, like, there's these little recharge naps here and there every once in a while. But, like, I'll go to bed at 11:30 midnight and get up at 4:50.
Yeah, I wake up at, like, 6 a.m., 5:30.
Yeah.
Well, I do, too, but I also go to bed. So that, like, at a compensatory time, yeah. So that, like, I wake up at 5:30 or 6, but I've got a good 8 in.
Yeah, I need to build in some me time into every day where I get to, like, play games or, you know, watch some videos or something.
Yeah,
I will go insane. Like, lack of sleep is less of a pressing issue to me than boredom, honestly.
Fair enough. I mean, my whole life is a fucking playground, so I just don't run into that problem. Yeah.
I've got responsibility.
Welcome to Bo's Jungle.
It's no shit, man.
Yeah, somebody cue it up right now.
Hey, welcome to the Shotcast. It feels like we started the show.
Can we legally play, because we don't charge for this, could we legally play the opening guitar riff from Welcome to the Jungle if we'd, like, just played a certain amount of time of it? Is that a real law?
I don't know if you've been paying attention, John, but there are no rules for anything anymore.
Yeah, fair use is
that's true.
Good to go now.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as you're not charging for it.
We're a fortnight away from a Thunderdome.
And as we all know, that's when we thrive. So.
Yeah, that's...
Yes, yes. That's what we've been planning.
We've been training for our whole lives.
Right. Remember the before times. I've been wanting to watch that again recently. Like it is in no way the best of the Mad Max films. Not even close.
No.
But there's something about Beyond Thunderdome I really like.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love all those
good
movies.
Stuff.
Yeah. It's, you know, and it's not just the what Auntie Rue and, you know, who run Bartertown kind of stuff. Even the creepy kids out in the desert. There's something I like about that too.
Yep.
It's weird.
Yep. It's got a Lost Boys feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It really becomes an odd kind of film in the back end of that. No wonder that guy did, like the guy who did Mad Max also did the movie Babe about the talking pig.
Yep.
Which is also kind of dark and weird. So, he did the sequel, the Pig in the City one. The one that, like, after that, they were just like, George Miller, you can't make movies for a while. and then he was like, oh, yeah? Here's
Watch this. Here's the best fucking Mad Max movie you've ever seen.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, goddamn.
there you go.
Anyway, so this is the Shotcast, the podcast about video games.
Yeah.
Here on LegionPodcasts.com.
Here we own... We only talk about Charlotte's Web and
that was another
Babe.
Goddamn question last night at the trivia thing, which was what was the name of the rat in Charlotte's Web?
Templeton.
I could not remember it for the life of me.
Yeah,
somebody loves Templeton.
I've seen the Charlotte's Web cartoon so many goddamn times I can't even count. That was something that was on a lot when I was a kid. I don't know why.
Man, I was bouncing all around. I was like Artemis, Socrates, something like that, and fucked it up.
Isn't it like
Chanticleer?
Yeah, right. Robespierre, Danton, my favorite of the French revolutionaries to be beheaded. Like I said, video classing games. It up. Yeah, and video games.
Yeah.
Danton, the famous video game about a politician who flies a little too close to the sun. It's exciting. It's a shooter.
Back when you were referred to as a video gamist.
Right. A game enthusiast.
Yeah.
So with me, as always, I'm Bo. I'm your host. And
hi, Bo.
Hey, everybody. my name is Bo, and I'm your host. It's been 2 weeks since my last hosting.
Has it been that long?
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. This Twin Peaks show is something else. Just has taken over my life. But, Duncan and Bo go to Twin Peaks here on LegionPodcast.com. Ding! So.
That was the sound of money rolling in, right?
Yeah.
Ding.
Either that or the gleam off the teeth as I smile was kind of. I don't know. What I've learned from that show is just sometimes I make noises into a microphone and people laugh. But with me as well, one Justin McFerrin. How are you doing, sir?
I'm wonderful.
And speaking of Twin Peaks, you were saying off air, but you were in Twin Peaks.
I was in Twin Peaks. Went to the falls. Went to the lodge and went to the diner. I will say that certainly you should go to the diner, but don't expect anything spectacular.
Was this a virtual reality experience?
No, this is a real experience.
Real life?
Real life. We also went to the Gum Wall in Seattle, and I had visited that before inside virtual reality, and it's better in real life.
Oh.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, take that, virtual reality, piece of shit. Yeah.
Right, fuck you, virtual reality.
Right?
Ugh.
You really smell the gum while you're there in real life.
Yeah, they haven't got that going on yet. Smell-o-vision.
I like to think that the wall of gum is also under a very large school desk.
Just flipped up so you can see under it.
Yeah.
Just angled like 45 degrees.
I hate to bring reality right to you, but it is underneath the fish market.
Oh, fish-flavored gum is always delicious.
Of course.
Juicy salmon.
I did partake in plenty of seafood while I was there, so that was nice.
Oh, sure, yeah. What you have? Is...
The Dungeness crab.
Mm-hmm.
Can really only get that in the, you know, that area.
Is it the most delicious of all crabs or something?
It is. It's just, it's there You know, most people get like snow crab or Alaskan king crab.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of people really get Dungeness crab, but it's like sweeter.
Oh, okay. All right. Anything else going on in your personal life that you would like to share with the listening public?
Millions of fans.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seattle was really cool. You should visit there. They have a pop culture museum where I got to crawl around in a Jeffries tube. So you basically could have left me there forever.
Like, just shove in a gaming laptop that had Arma on it?
Yeah.
No, just have a couple pipes, and they're like, yeah, when that light turns red, turn this knob until it's green. And nice. Then just tell me it means something, because it was fun.
Yeah. So it's always good to feel like you're doing something important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, they have a really cool Star Trek exhibit in the Pop Culture Museum. So they had a bunch of really cool stuff. And then they had like a science fiction sci-fi exhibit as well. They had tons of stuff from like Battlestar Galactica, Aliens, Dune, props and stuff like that. So we get to see a lot of cool stuff.
All right. That sounds cool. I'm just surprised to hear that you enjoy Star Trek.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's never come up. It's not once.
It's not a new thing.
Just, you know, you learn. That's one of the things I like so much about doing this show is we learn things about each other. Also here is one John Dolan, sort of our senior statesman of the show.
How does that work?
I don't know. I'm just trying to, you know, build you up a little bit.
All right. It's not like it's not age related. It's more of like a ceremonial title.
Yeah. And also clearly a reference to the fact that you are advanced in age.
Yeah. I've got a gray beard, if that helps.
Oh man. Jeez. My hair is going. Yeah. I swear to God, like it's getting to the point where, I just have no idea what the fuck to do with my hair at this point. It's like, I just got to take it all off. But instead, I'm going with a bit of a Madoff lately. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, I've always kind of admired that look. Anyway, how are you, sir? What's what the hell's going on with you?
I'm all right. I've had I'm kind of in the middle of a week off, a little bit of a staycation. So I've just been doing tons of shit around the house, building things out of wood.
Digging holes?
No digging. I'm kind of anti-dig. My yard is basically, I live on top of a mountain in the Appalachian Mountains. It's not a huge mountain or anything, but I live at the top of it, and I'm going to give a little history lesson here, so strap in. The Appalachian Mountains are the oldest exposed mountain range in the world, and that is one of the reasons why they're so smooth, is because there's been millions of years of erosion have happened on them. So basically, I know. So basically, my entire yard is petrified fish shit because it used to be the bottom of a million bazillion year old ocean.
Is that fertile ground then?
No, it's hard as a fucking rock. So when you dig down, it's just like flaky layers of different colored brown under my house. And it's a pain in the ass to dig through. Yeah, so I don't like digging. It's a giant rock, you know, it's just the top of a mountain.
I mean, isn't it all
petrified,
really?
Petrified fish shit.
I can see why you like the building of things out of wood.
Yeah. So I did some above ground.
Did you make anything in particular? Like, is there a birdhouse or something involved?
No.
It's got to be a birdhouse.
Shelving for my garage.
Well, you know.
My goal is to be able to park both of my cars in my garage before I die.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
That's it. There's just so much shit. You know, I've owned several houses in my life now, so I've accumulated just this mass of tools and dollies and air compressors and just all the shit that you buy for one single job, and then you have to haul it around with you for the rest of your life. So I got tired of it, and I want to put it away, so I'm building all kinds of shelves and hooks and that kind of shit.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have goals. I mean, Elon Musk, get humanity to Mars, John Dolan,
organize my garage. Yeah.
Still a little rich for my blood.
Yeah.
Can you go 1.5 cars? Can you do like a motorcycle instead of that second car?
Maybe something cool with like a sidecar.
I mean,
like
if you want to be a sellout, man.
Yeah. I mean, like that three passenger one from PUBG. I'll take a sidecar.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I I have no interest in necessarily driving a motorcycle around, but I would love to have a motorcycle with a sidecar.
Oh, yeah. You can put stuff
just in
case.
It. Yeah.
Like a dog, you know?
Oh, my God. If I had a dog with the little, like the aviator hat and the goggles.
Right?
Shit.
Some kind of a cool-ass pit bull or something with leather helmet on, you know?
Yeah, or like even a bulldog or something.
There you go.
Would be pretty good in that scenario. In the sidecar scenario that most people have fantasized about.
Just get yourself a wolf.
You know, that seems dangerous.
Capture a friend and train a wolf. Just, you know.
I think you might want to try to befriend before the capture. Otherwise, yeah. You just got a wolf at home that's holding a grudge now.
Yeah, but that's how you break them.
No, you just pee on it a lot.
Take them away from the ones they love. We're your family now, wolf.
That's right.
Your name is Gary.
Yep. The sooner you get in, the easier it's going to be. And then you got a wolf to ride around on the motorcycle with you.
All right. I'm in. I mean, yeah. if we're going to do this, which I assume we are, you know, it's a holiday weekend coming up. Well, fellas, video game season is upon us. I don't know if
finally.
Right. Finally, video games have come out. And I don't know if you noticed, but like a whole lot of shit has come out all of a sudden. And I have played a bunch of it, but before I brag about my cult standings, which I'm very proud of. Justin, what in the world have you been playing?
Well, Bo, I picked up Nidhogg 2, which you guys know I loved the original Nidhogg. It's got a little bit different art style this time. I would say it's more mature. Some people hate it. I mean, the sort of two-tone style that Nidhogg had was really cool. And I think they showed off some stuff before this game was out that wasn't quite done, that people didn't like. But now that the game's actually out, I think the art style is really awesome in this one. There's a lot more depth to it, and the characters are pretty goofy. You can get a little bit of character customization now, so you can put different outfits on them and different hairstyles and stuff. They've added...
Finally,
yeah. They've added several more weapons, so you don't just have the sort of fencing lance thing now. You've got a knife. You've got like a big broadsword type deal. And then there's a bow and arrow. And you sort of, as you die, you rotate through those weapons as you spawn. So you might have a knife and then kill a guy and he spawns back with a bow and arrow. And you're kind of, you know, you got to figure that out. So there's a lot of countering and different things you've got to learn in this. You can block arrows with swords and can basically just cut people in half with a broadsword, which is pretty cool. Got the same kind of single player from the first game. So you just sort of play through levels, all the different levels, and then you're kind of done. There's online that I haven't touched yet, and there's like a local split screen as usual. Which is awesome. I like that a lot. That's what this game really shines, or at least the original did.
I played a bunch of split screen with my son, and that is super fun. And as far as the art style goes, I like it a lot. Actually, I think it's kind of a
like a Ghosts and Goblins feel from it.
Yeah, but it's
but
like
kind of squishy too, in a way that
yeah.
I kind of
like.
Oh
yeah, it's gross. It's supposed to be kind of gross and, you know, like mucusy and
yeah. I mean, there are levels where you're literally like playing through the butthole of the Nidhogg. So yeah, it's as goofy as they come.
Yeah, and that's cool. And there's a lot of good levels. And I would say on this one, I like every single level. And on the original Nidhogg, I only liked the first one that you do with the swinging chandelier.
Oh, really? I loved the tallgrass level in the first one.
I didn't like that one on the first one that much. Yeah, I don't know why.
No, we would play that one at work a lot, and we would try and fake each other out. You'd run through the tallgrass and hide. and just wait for them to pop up right in front of you, and then you could kill them. It was so much fun. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, all the levels in this are really good. As just like in the first one, the soundtrack is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I like that club level where it's like a dance club, just the kind of a techno-y track playing in the background, and that is great. But all of it's really good, and it's super varied. Like every single level that you fight on looks extremely different. Like they all have a really cool theme to them. That one that's like the pond in the forest is really gorgeous. Like it's the whole look of it. Have you ever seen those animated GIFs? They're like super high detailed, pixelated drawings that someone has done, and sometimes they're like isometric and whatever, but they'll have like a waterfall that kind of rotates. It's got that kind of a look to it. It's just really, really cool.
I haven't had an opportunity to play it. I picked it up, and then just the other games I've been playing have not been PC based of late. So I haven't been on with you guys to check it out, but I really want to play it, and it looks super cool.
Yeah. And it's like super, what is it, $15 or something like that, $20?
Yeah, it's well worth the price of admission for sure. Past that, I picked up this game Escape from Tarkov, which I think I briefly mentioned in the last podcast, but it's sort of like a hardcore first-person shooter survival simulator game that's made by this Russian company, sort of very, very, very loosely based on like the Stalker games, kind of just takes sort of a fair bit of inspiration from those games. And it's sort of like a permadeath situation. You have a stash, which is where all your items are kept outside of the raids that you go on. And the raid is you go into a match and you're looking for loot, and there's certain loot that spawns in certain places, and there's some, you know, rare loot in certain places where, you know, everyone will go check this spot. And kind of how the game works is you kit your guy out with gear before you go into the match. And if you die, you lose everything you brought with you. So if you brought a gun, backpack, helmet, you die, that's gone. And whoever killed you can try and take that stuff from you. Very similar to how...
Mm-hmm. Is there a base loadout? Like if you... Could you theoretically die, just go in and die every single game and lose all of your inventory?
Yes, you could lose everything.
Really?
Absolutely. Yep.
So what do you do at that point? Like, do they just give you a pistol or something?
No, it's weird. You could technically keep spawning with no... at a minimum, if you are at a certain level of the game, you get like a hatchet that you can never lose. So at the minimum, as long as you didn't sell that hatchet, you would always have that. So you could always spawn. But even past that, you could spawn without the hatchet and go punch somebody to death, you know.
Is there like loot that you pick up, or how do you get guns in game?
So yeah, I mean, there's loot. There are like chests and sort of like toolboxes and like duffel bags that sort of spawn around the map. And then there are certain locations that have maybe like a lockbox or a computer. So you're kind of like getting junk stuff. Like you might search a computer and get like a CPU and a graphics card, and you go sell that once you're out of the match to a trader. So there's like four or five traders. And then from that you buy a gun, but also you can stumble upon guns in the game that are already, you know, that just spawn. There's certain locations that potentially spawn those items.
Huh. It's kind of like an RPG shooter sort of.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they're going for. But so you have that's one aspect of it. And then you can go into a match, and it's the same matches that your main character is playing, but it's called scav mode. And what that is it spawns you as one of the AI enemies in the regular mode. And generally how it works is like when you spawn in, you're spawning into a match that's been going on for a while. So you're spawning in with some AI towards the end of the match. So then that's sort of like free loot. You spawn with like random loot. And if you can get to the extraction point of the map, you get to keep that stuff plus whatever you're able to, you know, find along the way. same rules apply. If you die, you lose everything. So there's sort of like a mode like that. And you can only do that once an hour. So they kind of give you the like a freebie. You don't want to potentially lose something. You know, you may have a gun that you've upgraded and modified very heavily that you don't want to lose or something. And so you can just kind of pick this. Spawn me as like a random bad guy and I'll see what I can make happen.
That's weird. Cool. I mean, because your choice is to not take your good weapons in and risk your success of getting out. That's a strange trade-off.
Or don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Which is what people tell, you know, once you've played it for a little while, it's like, don't worry about it. Just play smart.
Yeah.
Play safe. And if you've got a good gun and someone's coming at you with a gun that's not good, you're probably going to win.
Yeah.
Now, it's in a beta, so there are some pretty wonky things in there sometimes. There's some of the AI pathfinding and, I guess, aim. It was like basically they were like one-shotting people with pistols there for a week or two. So you'd just like, you'd turn around a corner and you'd just die, and then you'd see one of the AI run from like across the map. And they basically just making impossible shots. So it's kind of weird. And people, that's why people, especially now, are just like, don't worry about the gear. You're just going to lose it. So just play with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is early access.
Yeah.
Okay. And is this being sold anywhere other than just their website?
No.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, because it seems like a pretty serious game. Like from what I watched of it, it seems like it's pretty far along in development. I'm surprised it's not like on Steam or something. Do you think this is going to be a free to play?
I don't think so.
Okay.
They have said that Steam is probably an eventuality.
Okay.
But they haven't actually said for sure from everything I've read.
Interesting.
I mean, it's fun. It's something that I feel like you have to be like me, where like you hear about this game, and you're like, oh yeah, this is the game I want to play.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot of time. And it is very much like, if you don't go slow and you don't think about everything you're doing, you just want to, if you want to run around and kill people, you're going to have a horrible time in this game because you're just going to die and you're going to lose all this stuff that, you know, you're not going to get back without a lot of work.
This is made by Battle State Games. I'm on their website. It says Battle State Games is a Russian game development studio founded by people, experienced in FPS and hardcore games.
Their English is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And a lot of their, they'll have like, it all comes out in Russian, then someone does a rough translation and it's all like really off. And then a couple of days later, someone will translate it into like more properly sounding English, you know?
Yes. It looks cool. I watched some video of this and I thought it was cool that when the server wasn't full, that they filled it up with bots. And like the depth of the inventory system looks bonkers in this game.
Yeah, all that stuff is awesome. The modding, the guns, there's a whole like showcase outside of, you know, playing the game where you go and tweak all the different parts and stuff. So it's basically like Gran Turismo, but for guns.
Yeah, like you could just anything that could bolt onto some sort of a rail or whatever, you could like put it on any gun eventually. That was nuts looking. Yeah, seems cool.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like it seems really cool. It's one of those I'm like, if I don't know if I'm gonna have time to get to it.
Yeah,
no, that's fine. No kidding.
Yeah, it's just it looks tight, but when you start throwing in a loot and inventory that's that in depth, like you can't enjoy that game casually. Like you need to put like 30, 40 hours into something like that to, I don't know.
Right. Get genuinely good at it to the point where you can enjoy it. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hard because I like those kind of games, but it's like I really liked, what was the latest? Dying Light. I thought that was a really cool game that I didn't play enough. And it's because there was just so much shit to do in it. So.
Yeah. It was overwhelming. Yeah. I would say that when we were playing that, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, my God. And then the whole time, there's just murderous, ravenous zombies right behind you in that game. It's difficult. Now, Tarkov sounds good, though. I'm interested to see. How long? Do they have a release date for it yet?
I don't know. The the beta, the like open beta that I got into just came out maybe a month and a half ago. So it's I would say you're looking at another 3 or 4 years before this game is done. Done with what they would, because eventually there will be like an open world aspect to it, and the traders turn into more like mission givers, and you, instead of having just a stash outside of the game, you're actually going to have like a base, like a hideout that you upgrade, and you might, you know, be able to make your own ammo or make your own guns, weird stuff like that.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's it.
Before we move on, have you had much more time with that VR VTOL game?
I have. I sat down and played. They did another update and fixed some stuff. That game was fun. I mean, it is easy to pick up, very hard to master. And I, you know how I love flying in Arma, and I would say it's very similar to like helicopters in Arma. But if you've got a headset and you've got motion controllers, it's a no-brainer to pick up.
And do you control the flight entirely with the motion controllers? Like, there's no...
Yes.
Really?
No outside controller. It takes some time to get used to it, but the way he's sort of implemented everything, like the throttle-wise, you kind of pull the throttle up to where you want it, and when you let go, it stays there. So it's, you don't have to hold the throttle and then be holding your arm in a weird position for a long time. And there are easy ways to turn autopilot type features on and off so that you don't really have, you just kind of get yourself pointed where you want to go, and you can flip that stuff on real quick and then start messing with all the other, the fun stuff. Like, the missiles.
That's just like Arma, where you have the auto leveling key. Like, you got in trouble, you could just tap the key and it would just hover for a second and you could start over. That was always nice.
It is a lot of fun. They've added a couple more missions, and the guy seems really vocal with the community. So I'm hoping that the next update, he'll have a bunch more missions in there. Because right now you basically can go like pick people up or go shoot a couple drones. And then there's basically just like the how to do different things, training missions. And that's kind of it right now.
There's some pretty intense like cockpit photos on the Steam page. How much of that is interactive?
All of it.
Really?
That's how you do everything. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
You got to flip the red switches to turn the engines on and all that shit.
When you get in, you have to turn the battery on and wait for the battery to spool up. Then you can flip the two engines on. Then you can turn the initial battery off. And then there's a whole little, it's not a very in-depth set of things you have to do. It's basically like five steps, but it makes it so that if you did just hop in, you know, it's going to take you a second.
That's what I liked about the HMS Malrukin, though, was like, it was that same thing. Turn on the batteries, fire up this, turn that on, and then flip these switches. And it all made perfect sense. But there was like that nice mechanical process to it that made it a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's not the most complicated thing, but it's just the right amount of complication.
Who doesn't like flipping switches?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So VR is for.
That's cool.
I mean, if nothing else, if that's all it gets us, it will have all been worthwhile. John, what about you, sir? What have you been playing?
In addition to Nidhogg 2, I tried out the latest expansion / update. I don't know what you want to call it. I suppose it's an update for No Man's Sky. And it is their big story add-on that supposedly contains 30 hours of story gameplay. And what I saw of it was pretty good. It's kind of a new thing to do in that game. The game seems a lot more complete with the three updates that they put out for that stuff. It's still the same game, though. If you're not into a survival experience that is very quiet and kind of laid back, it's still not a game for you, but now there is another 30-hour stretch of stuff to do in this game that, from what I've seen of it so far, I actually think is better than the rest of the stuff in the game. It seems like this is obviously something that was planned to be in the original release. I think it's becoming more and more clear that Sony got these guys to push this game out the door way, way before it was done. Because they, I mean, they've managed to add quite a bit of functionality to this game in like a calendar year. So, you know, all that stuff was probably in the pipe already when they pushed it out. So it's interesting. If you were looking at this game and you heard all the bad hype and you thought it might be fun, it's got, been on sale a few times for like $24 now. And it's got a whole shit ton more content in it. So it's, I've maybe put another 10 hours into it and it's still really fun to just cruise around and look at all the crazy awesome vistas in this game. So I still get the same kick out of it. I don't know if I'll finish the whole story or not, but it's one of those games that I just kind of pick up and go back to every once in a while. Just need something to chill out. It's fucking perfect game for if you're watching a Twitch stream or something on a second monitor, or you want to listen to a podcast. It's perfect for that. So
yeah, I dip back in as well for that very reason. I just wanted to kind of, you know, see what there was to see now. Yep. In that game. And yeah, it feels a lot more complete. I didn't play it a ton. I, you know, put a couple hours into it just to see what was what. And you know, we were sending some emails around about this as well. And the thing that I found was, like, you know, at the end of the day, this is still just a game about gathering resources.
Yep. Totally is one of those.
Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe I should have known better in thinking that it had more. It's more ambitious than just that, yeah. But it is still that.
It is. At its core, that's exactly what it is. But now, I mean, you couldn't do this on release, but now, because they've added the ability to add buildings and, you know, what's it like a hydroponics grow lab you can build. And so you can actually go harvest the things that you would be out looking for and farm them. Like, it's got way deeper possibilities because they've upgraded that, because now you can just. All the resources that you needed to go out and fucking pain in the ass. I got to grind for a while and get more carbon or whatever. Now you just grow it in mass quantities at your base. You build storage containers, you dump all that shit in there, and then you just go fly around and look at cool shit. And then when you need more fuel, you just warp back to your base. Like, they've added teleporters now, so you can warp to anywhere from anywhere. But yeah, and I don't know how to build one yet, but I think you have to build them or some shit. I don't know. But it's the crafting aspect of this game has gotten crazy deep. And that's
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's something either you like that or you don't. So
I had needed hard drive space, so I uninstalled it. But that sounds pretty neat.
It, you know, and it does a much better job. I don't know what Bo's experience was, but for me, the tutorial section, like, I started a brand new game. I deleted my 60 hour save that I had and started a new game.
Yep.
And that was the best decision, because the intro to that game is way better than it was on the original release, because it actually tells you what to do and why, which it just didn't do before.
Yep. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
You need carbon because it fixes your fucking health, and you need this because it fixes your ship, and you need iron because you can use that for fuel.
And they have probes now that actually tell you where that shit is.
Yes.
as opposed to randomly wandering around. Yeah.
Yep. And there's upgrades to, like, your scanner. There's economy built into it now. So you can go, you can haul materials between systems and get a better deal selling material here and there. It's got like an Elite Dangerous feel to it. That shit wasn't in there previously. It's with this update, and it seems like there's still room for more. Like, there's some big thing they're going to add to this. I'm almost certain they're going to do some sort of an upgrade to, like, the wildlife and stuff in the game, because some of that shit still looks a little sketchy. It's cool, the vastness of it. I mean, this game is just a fucking screenshot generator. Like, every time I play it, I take a couple screenshots of it because it just looks so goddamn pretty. But I think they're real close to having something very interesting here. So it's certainly way better than it was.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I'm looking forward to, over the 3-day weekend, there is certainly a possibility that that's going to be my, you know, I'm going to kick back and listen to a couple of podcasts and while away a Sunday afternoon.
It's one of those games, too, where I'll be sitting around, and I'll be like, I think I want to play some games, but I'm kind of tired, maybe I'll just watch TV or something, and then I'll just play No Man's Sky, because it's such an easy game to play. Like, there's no... I don't know, there's like no overhead to it. Like you just turn it on and play for a while and then you can get somewhere and save and it's no big loss. I just like the ease of use of it. So, and the colors, man,
they're so vibrant. So pretty. It still does look good and all that stuff. So,
I had one more short one I'll talk about.
I also
played a game called Black the Fall. And that, if you've ever played Limbo or Inside, it is very much one of those games. I cannot remember. I funded this somehow, but I don't think it was a Kickstarter, or maybe it was on Kickstarter and they removed it and just went to their own website, because I ended up getting a key by going to their website where I had created an account like 2 years ago. But it's just you go left to right, solving small puzzles along the way, with a very cool graphic treatment. Like it supposedly takes place in like future Russia, and you're some worker in this gigantic factory / city and you are escaping. And it has a very, very similar vibe to Inside, just because of it's all kind of grays and blacks and reds. The puzzles in it are not as good as an Inside, at least not that I've experienced yet. I've probably played about 2 hours of it. They're not as good as Limbo or Inside. The physics of it don't feel quite, not even close, actually, not even nearly as advanced as Inside. But it's a decent effort. Like there's been a couple of spots that were pretty cool. There's definitely a good look to it. If you played Inside and you played Limbo, you're not going to like this game as much as those. But if you're just into that style of game, I think it's definitely worth checking out.
All right, cool. So, all right. I've got, in breaking the rules and the spirit of the show, I've got three
rules.
More like guidelines, suggestions.
More of a guideline than a rule.
You're right.
Never to get involved with possessed people.
Commandments?
Oh, man. Ghostbusters just infiltrates every part of my life. I want to briefly mention the Mario and Rabbids Battle Kingdom. Finally got my hands on that game, which I've been real curious to play.
What is that game, Bo?
That game is kind of what I thought it was going to be, which is certainly a positive. It's a very bright, colorful XCOM with a lot of weird shit on top. And it's a delight, John.
Like Nintendo weird shit or like weird shit?
Kind of weird shit.
Hmm.
Because of the influence of the Rabbids, and I gotta be honest, I don't know if I've ever played a Rabbids game. I can't think of one I have. At any rate, the Rabbids are the premise of the game is that there is there's somebody who has what's called a super merge, which is sort of a VR helmet looking device where if you are wearing this thing and you look at two different things, it combines them.
How do you spell supa?
S-U-P-A, just like it sounds, Sean.
I thought I'd have some weird Nintendo spelling to it or something.
No. That would be, what is his name? Beepo, the robot. So
Beepnorp?
Yeah, old Glip Glop. Anyway, the Rabbids pop into this world. They grab this helmet, and because Rabbids are just crazy forces of chaos that just fuck shit up wherever they go, one of the Rabbids puts this helmet on and it starts combining the Rabbids with lamps and chairs and brooms and all kinds of crazy shit, and then ultimately combines the world of Rabbids and the world of Mario, and so the whole deal is like you as Mario and team et al are trying to undo this reality warping thing that has happened, and also to get these Rabbids the fuck out of the Mushroom Kingdom because they are just maniacs. So
it's like a Nintendo Philadelphia experiment.
Yeah, it kind of is in a weird way. But all right, so that's kind of the overarching story. But at the end of the day, it's a tactical turn-based strategy game. You're hiding behind shit. It's XCOM. You hide behind shit and shoot other shit. The thing that they do in this game that is kind of cool is that there are mechanics where you can like dash at an enemy and knock them down for a moment. And also you have these kind of team leap things where you can move the cursor to the, you know, one of your teammates and get this super jump, which will allow you to kind of get behind the enemy and do some flanking, and you can combine all that stuff. And Mario is a stone cold killer in that game, which is pretty fun, of just leaning around a corner and straight up shooting this rabbit in the motherfucking face. And
what's
let
he shooting
die.
Now? Like a fireball, or like what are we armed with?
I've only got a couple of guns so far. At first, it was just like this blue orb. I assume a disintegration ray of sorts.
Wait, so Mario's leaning around a corner, pulling out a Glock, and just popping a couple caps in whatever these things are.
Yeah, he's like mushrooms for life. Bam, bam.
That just seems highly out of character.
And all right, so maybe I'm overstating that just a bit.
I mean, Mario's been eradicating subspecies for quite some time.
But with like comical fireballs.
Yeah. You know. It's still murder.
And these are very cartoony guns for sure, but they are guns nonetheless. But then later they say like, oh, you've actually freed the rabbits from this corruptive influence and they're okay now. They're back at Peach's castle.
It's like that Rick and Morty episode. They're robots, Morty. They're robots.
Right. It's fine. It's fine. The gameplay itself is kind of fun, and the world that you're in is really, I mean, it's real Nintendo, but with a whole lot of polish and it looks great. The music's incredible. It's not a super deep game. You're not doing any sort of base building or anything like you were in the XCOM games. There's a certain degree of customization with the characters and the team. It's a super fun game to kick back in the recliner with and play while, you know, something's on TV. It's a great one of those. But so I'll continue to play that. That's a real enjoyable game. And also I have been playing Uncharted, The Lost Legacy. I'm making sure.
I don't know anything about that. Is that just a in-universe new game, like a whole complete thing, or is that some sort of add-on to the last title?
That's how it started out. My understanding of the story of this was going to be DLC content for Uncharted 4, and in fact, if you had bought Uncharted 4 and got the season pass, this would be free still, which is kind of a nice move. Yeah. If you didn't get the season pass, it's $40. So it's not a full price game, but you know, it's not nothing. Yeah. And it takes characters from Uncharted 2. Was she in 2? At least 3 and 4, if not 2, 3 and 4. And puts them together. And Nathan Drake is not in it. Like, they discuss the Drake brothers a little bit, but that's kind of it. The way I would describe it is, if you are not crazy about Uncharted games, this is not going to change your mind about that. That said, it's a great Uncharted story, even though Nathan Drake is not the main character. The fact that you have these two women who kind of don't totally trust each other, but are working together, and they're kind of exploring each other's motives, and all of that is set against you know, these beautiful backdrops. It all takes place in India. There's a bit more, not quite open world, but there's a bit more choice in how you approach some of the game, where it's like, hey, I've got to do these five things in this area, but the game is not going to guide me to, you know, one area before the other. I can just go do whatever the fuck I want to do right now. And that's kind of fun to see in an Uncharted game, because it felt weirdly liberating once the rails were kind of off.
Is that how the Tomb Raider game was? One of the more recent one of those that have a similar mechanic like that?
Yeah. And it seems like what both of these franchises are kind of doing is dipping their toes into open world environments and seeing if it works. And I think in both cases it totally did. I think the Uncharted series and the Tomb Raider series right now are two of my favorites to play, partly because they're so cinematic and I'm a movie kind of guy. But also there's genuinely good storytelling and there's spectacle, and these are like big budget AAA games. It's like, you know, the Ghostbusters, if you will, of video games. Where it's like, hey, this is going to be this is a big deal when it comes out. A lot of people spend a lot of time and money making this shit. And I really enjoy it. It's pretty short. I'm like, I'm 4 or 5 hours into it and I'm pretty close to being done, I think. I think I've heard 6 to 8 is about where it tops out, which is, you know, why it's not full price, but also I'm of the mind that I've enjoyed this story a lot, and I'm also kind of ready to be done with the game at a certain point. Like, even though it's fair, like, the narrative arc has been very satisfying, and it's been fun to play Uncharted again a little bit. But I am also starting to come around to the idea of, like, you know what? Maybe they should just gussy up these shooting mechanics a little bit. This starting to feel
100% with you.
Starting to feel a little long in the tooth, John.
Glad you're seeing it my way.
And I mean,
want them to
they're
go.
Good games. They're good games, but if they feel dated because of the way that the shooting and the movement just feel dated to me.
The graphics are
like mind-blowingly leading edge.
Yes, you know? It is.
And they've got beautiful. This control scheme that just feels old and kind of clunky.
Would they go like Grand Theft Auto type controls?
I don't like that either, man.
Yeah, that's still the same kind of floatiness, I think, yeah. Of that Uncharted has.
Hitman,
yeah, yeah. That's a good...
Give me that Hitman camera.
Because in the Nathan Drake game, in all those Uncharted games, it's not... You can die fairly easily, right? I mean, you're not a bullet sponge, right?
Oh, yeah. You're squishy for sure.
Okay. I was going to say, Hitman, it makes the gunplay where you feel like you're a real person. You don't feel like you're, you know, some superhero, really, at least in my eyes. If you feel like you're really taking damage.
Like, you can take a couple bullets in Hitman, but if somebody comes around a corner with a machine gun, you're fucking dead.
Yeah. And that's what I would think I would want out of a Tomb Raider or an Uncharted.
I mean,
ball itself.
I think both of those are a little more forgiving than Hitman for sure.
Yes.
But they're not crazy. You know, you don't, I guess you could tweak the difficulty in such a way that you would be, but.
So I think the new Tomb Raider, the last two control a lot like Hitman, like, and I think there are better games than the Uncharted games, honestly.
I agree. I think the controls are a lot tighter and feel more responsive and a little bit more freedom of movement. But I'll tell you one thing that plays into the sometimes sluggish controls of Uncharted this time around is that I don't know whether the game is emphasizing it or it's just me not wanting to shoot as much, but I've been playing the game much more stealthily so that by the time I'm discovered, there's only a dude or two left anyway, and it just doesn't last very long. But I've enjoyed the kind of cover system a little bit more this time around. And also they do like the horizon thing of, hey, if you're in tall grass, you kind of hunker down and people can't really see you. And so you can kind of weave around, and you know, you're out in the jungle, so there's tall grass everywhere, so you can kind of stack some bodies just murdering fools. Anyway, so been enjoying that quite a bit. And finally, this is the third, I played to completion. I've been wanting to say that for a while.
Man,
this guy
getting hot.
Yeah. Shotcast after dark.
Take a drink here.
Relax. It's okay. You can take your pants off.
Way out of you.
All right. The Shrouded Isle is a game I would recommend to anyone who enjoys worshiping elder gods and enjoys the push-pull of sacrifice versus keeping your population stupid and afraid. So the game Shrouded Isle is kind of a sort of management sim-ish kind of game, where, all right, so here's the premise. You are the leader of a cult. And as with all cult leaders, you have 3 years to bring about the resurrection of the god Chinaboth. And to do that, you have to sacrifice someone every season. But you have to pick your sacrifices from one of five or six, I can't remember exactly, houses, which are populated by, you know, kind of portrait style characters that are like, you know, here are the two heads of the house and here are their four kids and stuff like that. And so you can select them to be part of your council, and you have to sacrifice one of those members of your council every season. So if you sacrifice somebody for no good reason, then the house that, you know, bore the brunt of this insult is going to get pissed. And if you don't keep all the houses together, you lose and you don't resurrect Chinaboth. And believe me, you're going to want to resurrect Chinaboth. So, what you have to do is you have to, like, every house has a specialty, and their job is, you also have meters for fervor, which is obviously how much they're into worshiping Chinaboth, the population of this area. You have, education, and you want to keep that kind of low. You don't want people reading too much, because then they'll start to get some ideas. Like, one of the big things that you can get away with sacrificing someone for is that they're too artistic and free-thinking. And so that's kind of fun. And anyway, so there are all these kind of, you know, attributes that you're managing. You're trying to keep things above and below the line. And what you do is every season you select... or every week in the season. Is that right? There are three rounds in the season, I think. Every month in the season, that's what it is. So every month of the season, you are selecting three of the council that you picked. So you're not sending everybody every time. And you send them out to do their thing, whether it's to quash free thought, whether it's to burn some books, maybe, you know, do some public discipline, that kind of thing, to keep everybody in line. And... at the end of all that, you could potentially discover something about the people that you've sent off to do this thing. And that's where you reveal the secrets that they have, which potentially gives you a good reason to sacrifice them. So you're kind of investigating these people in such a way that, you know, you don't lose the game. Also, in between the years, Chinaboth will speak to you and be like, hey, be on the lookout for somebody who's a thief and killed that motherfucker this year. And so you're trying to find, you know, someone whose attributes are like disloyalty and dishonesty. And if you keep sending them off to do these little missions, then eventually you'll find their deepest secret. And if you sacrifice the right person, I don't know what happens. I did it a couple of times, and I'm not sure if it gave me special standing. I think it gives you a boost in some of your rankings or whatever. But anyway, it's kind of, again, one of those games that you're kind of playing when something else is on in the corner or whatever. But it's just so dark and twisted that I loved it. I had such a good time with it. And I only played it for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 hours, something like that. Like, I resurrected Chinaboth. And there's some, like, RNG in there. I got kind of lucky on some of that stuff of just, like, oh, I happened to pick the person that Chinaboth once sacrificed right away. So now I can just explore these other characters and see what else I can find. So, hey, next year I already know who I'm going to sacrifice. Which feels good to say. I'm not going to lie.
It's good to plan ahead.
Right. And it's the whole reason I love the game is that you're sitting there making these decisions like, you know, she wants to build a library, which isn't a good enough reason to kill her, but I don't have any better ones for anyone else. So sorry, that library is going to burn with you.
So the whole presentation on this game kind of just this, it almost looks like a board game interface, kind of like a card.
Yeah, almost. It's this very sepia kind of watercolor look to everything. And, but it's super fun. Like I just had a great time with it and, you know,
is there voiced audio on this or is it just all reading or,
was there voice audio? I think there was at least at portions, but, and I think it's what, like, $15, $20, something like that.
$9.99.
Oh yeah. $10. Jeez. What are you waiting for, people? You can't afford not to resurrect an Eldritch God for them kind of dollars.
Seems like a bargain.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, again, for something to do, like it would be a great laptop game, you know, if you're traveling or something, or whatever, you know, some people just have laptops, whatever. But it's a great game for that stuff. Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's good stuff. So, you know, and then a little Zelda here and there. That I've been tinkering with that Switch something fierce, and there are some big, big fucking gaps in what's available for that thing right now. Like once that library gets there, that thing's going to be amazing. I'm already like, it's just become my go-to now for, just playing anything other than, Uncharted lately. It's just like, oh, I want to just pick up this thing and sit on the couch and play Zelda for a minute. It's so fun. So, you know, get you one of those.
All right. I will.
Yeah. Run out and get yourself a Switch.
John, if you could go buy some video game stuff, that would be great. Right. That's all you got to say. I'm out the door. I'll go.
Yeah, and it's real. You know, honestly, unless, like, I knew I wanted to play this stupid Rabbids game. But unless you know of a game that's like, I really want to play that right now. The Zelda game's pretty goddamn good and a compelling argument to get one of those anyway. But other than that, like, hold off. Wait till there's a game that you're fired up for. But it is a super cool device. So with that out of the way, we are going to take a quick break with a sponsor from another show here at LegionPodcasts.com. And when we come back, there will be news.
Is it Dave's Diamond Rodeo resellers again?
No. It's actually Diamond Dave's Rodeo.
Hmm.
Because David Lee Roth is not doing so well.
He's having a charity rodeo, or like, what's the purpose of the rodeo if he's not feeling good?
He's a clown there. Cheer him up? Okay. He, you know, wears the barrel and
nice, and nothing else.
And that's it.
Like jumps up and does the splits,
right? Like, you know, once the Cowboys like get thrown from the bull or whatever, he just hops the fence, boosty bop, and you know,
nice.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hello, this is the Doom Show. Keep on keeping on and keep on trucking, America. We don't listen to our feedback because we don't get any.
The truth hurts.
I just alienated the two people that give us constant feedback. Sorry, guys.
That's gotta go.
That's gotta go in there.
So on the show, we talk about giallo movies and slasher movies and cult movies. Sometimes we even talk about Cameron Mitchell and his movies. I am Richard. Who are you?
I'm Brad, the guy that's not Richard, or Jeffrey, or Simon.
That's right, we have four people, and we always talk at once, except to each other.
Jeffrey lives up north, Simon lives across the world, Richard lives in Penis, Alabama.
Hello, This is the Doom Show is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. Check out the other shows on legionpodcast.com. You can check out more Hello, This is the Doom Show at hellodoomshow.podomatic.com or at doommoviethon.com.
Check for our Amazon exclusive Hello, This is the Doom Show cookbook.
Do you like hot dogs?
We got them.
Do you like mac and cheese?
We got it.
Do you like cheddar?
We have it.
Actually, we don't.
No cheddar.
Just Colby Jack.
Hello, this is the Doom Show. We never gave up on you because you never gave up on us.
Wow.
Did you see the shots of that remastered StarCraft game?
I have not.
I have not either. I know that they were doing it, but I have not seen it yet.
Looks, you know, like StarCraft, but. It was kind of funny watching some of the video on it, how nostalgic I kind of am for the original StarCraft. Like, seeing that opening animation with the two dudes in the Jeep and the Zerg and, you know, I love you, Sarge. Like, all that stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, man. I probably watched that intro, you know, 50 times when StarCraft came out. Anyway. It's but it looks good. Like the rendered CG of that game doesn't hold up super well, as you might imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But and they don't remaster that other than to just clean it up. Yeah, I mean the fact that when you're actually playing the game, not that I have, just the videos I've watched, gentlemen. You know, the level of detail even. Using, you know, similar assets and stuff is, you know, pretty substantial. It looks cool.
On their StarCraft.com, I'm playing with one of those images. It's a live video, but you can swipe left and right on it and change the resolution back and forth.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's a definitely a detail upgrade for sure. Old StarCraft just looks blurry now when you look at it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a problem with a lot of those games. And kind of why I don't get too bent out of shape about remasters of games if it makes sense. Like, oh, this was a very famous, popular game that kind of looks like poop now. So let's polish this turd to mix metaphors. Poopophores, perhaps.
mixed poopophores?
Mixed poopophores.
Is that the name of
Excrementophores?
Oh, that's a good one. Nice. That one sounds classy. Excrementophores. Wow.
Yeah, right.
Well, if there's a show title in that, I think that might be the show title.
Yeah, don't step on your monocle on the way out.
Mercy.
Should just go into James Cagney?
I don't know.
Yeah, she. I got a monocle, she.
That's the monocle guy voice, I think.
I bet.
I always think of the penguin. I always think of the penguin from from specifically from like the old one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Burgess Meredith.
Yeah.
That was basically. That was actually my Dick Cheney impression. I've moved on. So.
It's well, you know. 6 601.
Correct. Put a war in Iraq, meh.
Nah, he's qualified. Meh.
It's a fun voice.
Yeah,
fun.
It kind of is. To do. It kind of is. Nice. So news has been falling all around us like tears in the rain.
In the rain, I knew you were going to do that. I knew it. Okay.
And if there is one replicant that I want to hear from in a time like this, it's John Dolan. Or is he?
Wouldn't you like to know? No, I'm totally a robot.
Sure. I mean, yeah. God, where do I sign? I would become...
To be a robot?
Yeah, I would become a robot in 2 seconds. Like, you couldn't get the question mark out of your mouth before I was like, yes, robot me up.
But you retain your current memories and sentience.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that part of the deal?
I want to be driven crazy by time.
Nice. No, yeah. That sounds cool. I'm right there with you. Yeah.
I want to go mad with the immortality.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm getting a real, like, RoboCop 2 vibe out of this.
That comes in waves, though. Like, you go insane after you live for 3,000 years and you've seen everybody you've ever known live and die, you know? But you get over it. And then, you know, move on, right? And then and then it happens again. Like, it's a...
Right, it's just the circle of life.
It's not all that. Yeah, it's not, Like, you're...
Until we're all robots, and then we're all just around each other forever.
That would suck. That sounds like hell.
That's
stuck with the same people forever.
Ugh. Yeah, that's guys. Very Sartre.
That's where we're going.
Tell you, this has been one highfalutin podcast tonight. I am.
Yeah, but you already blew that title on a previous episode.
I know.
You gotta go with the excrementator or whatever it was Justin said.
Excrem metaphor. Which is real good, so.
It's not bad.
All right, anyway, what were we doing? News? Yeah, what the hell?
Does anybody know anything more about mixed reality headsets than I do?
Which I
learned by reading this article from PCGamer.com.
I skimmed this article as well.
Here are the mixed reality headsets coming to Windows 10. And I went, really?
Oh.
I didn't know that.
They're going to try.
Yeah, there's like, what is this? We got Acer's making one. What is this one? The Asus is making one. Dell is making one.
Lenovo.
Yeah. And it's a HoloLens-like device, but they, instead of having the shield that is see-through in front of you, you are basically in a virtual reality helmet, but there's cameras mounted on the front of the device that look out at the world outside of the helmet and then incorporate it into your mixed reality experience. Which also leads to the advantage of you don't need, what are they called for the Vive? Lighthouses? Light towers?
Like the lighthouse room, sensors.
Yeah, the room scale pieces. Yeah. You don't need those because it's got a camera on the front of it looking around. So,
interesting. It seems cool and you know, because they don't require, they do, what's it called? The inside out tracking or whatever.
Yeah.
Man, ain't nothing wrong with more VR and AR and MR. I mean,
it seems serious. Like Microsoft is like setting a software standard for mixed reality in that all of these devices will be compatible with the Windows 10 version of whatever this is.
Yeah,
that's the way to do it. Like they've got a lot of money to put behind it, and I've obviously got some. You know, I mean, Acer and Asus and fucking Dell, those are like big names in electronics. So Lenovo, they've been around for a while. I'm curious to see if they can somehow also tap into the virtual reality market with these. Like there's nothing in this article that says explicitly these will play Vive or Oculus games.
Yeah.
Right.
So when you get a helmet that can do, you know, you can close yourself off completely, do a virtual reality, or you can do mixed reality. That's the device everybody's going to want. So,
Right, and the one thing that none of these mention that I could see is the idea of, like, the touch or, you know, whatever the equivalent device is that...
I think that Asus one comes with, like, some of these have controllers that look very much like the touch, where it's, like, the loop with the handle inside of it.
Yeah, I wonder if you could just, like, hey, I've got... Well, I mean, in my case, well, if, you know, I got a Rift with the touch, so who cares? Yeah. But you could maybe get, like, if you just got the headset, maybe you could get the touch controllers and the and a sensor or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. Like, more of this, please. Like, every day that goes by that this stuff becomes more commonplace and less expensive, that I'm the happier a guy I am.
Yeah. I mean, these are the steps on the way to ultimately what we want, which is, you know, the Ready Player One universe. Basically, where you can just lose yourself in virtual reality or whatever. So,
yeah, come on, porn.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the prices aren't terrible on these things. Like, it's still somewhat prohibitive. Like, Acer's is $300. Asus was the most expensive one, I think. It was like $500, but it came with the little hand controllers. Dell's, I think, was the cheapest. I think it was $299, something like that. So, I mean, that's... Here's a cool gadget.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like a reasonable price for something cutting edge like that, so.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, when you're talking, you know, $300, that's not crazy.
Yeah. Let's see. I can't remember if we talked about this on the previous episode, but they were thinking of the... what is it? The International Olympic Committee. People were petitioning them to include video games in the Olympics, as they have for many years, I'm sure. But it was like a big push again. And the response was, where there was a quote. "We want to promote non-discrimination, non-violence, and peace among all people," he told the Morning Post. "This doesn't match with video games, which are violence, explosions, and killing."
And I mean, he's not wrong.
Clear line. This is what is this guy's name? Thomas Bach, the IOC president. This is his quote. And it's you're right, totally. But you know, if you can get past that,
yeah. Either take the games that people want to watch,
yeah,
which are going to be violent as hell,
yeah,
or don't do it, because you know, the article kind of mentions. That potentially would be like, you know, Madden or NBA 2K17 or something like that. And who could possibly care? Yeah.
Well, and then also his point that those games are violent. Football is like a gladiator sport, you know?
Yeah. So. I mean, if for the next Olympics, they're like, blood sports are back. We're going to put, you know, two guys in a cage. Then everyone and their mom would be tuning into the Olympics. You know what I mean?
Nobody wants to watch synchronized swimming.
Right. And and you better get rid of fencing. That's people stabbing each other with swords, by the way.
Yeah.
Still, though, I mean, video games, the video game industry should just regulate itself and come up with its own Olympics of video games or something, you know? Just cut that off, you know, from the get-go. License whatever, the Olympic, whatever. I don't know. Or don't. Just make it your own thing.
Yep. I agree. I don't know if there's much else to say here. It's like, of course they're not a fit for the Olympics. Like, I'm not shocked that the guy said, nah, I don't know. People, you know, fragging each other in between, you know, Michael Phelps winning 6,000 more gold medals. And it's not a shock. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like, I don't know. The Olympics, like, there's so many sports in the Olympics that are just boring to watch. And here you have something. If they're just sticking to their, you know, their moral code or whatever, that's fine. But it seems to me that the Olympics is about making money. And what better way to do that than incorporate the most popular things, games that society is currently interested in. So it seems like not very long-term thinking, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know. I just I don't watch the Olympics. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of people who still do. If, you know, I don't know. Video games would make me tune into them unless they did what he's talking about. And then it would be like, oh, well, that sounds still like boring Olympics.
Yeah. Nobody wants to watch the Splatoon championships.
By all
measurements, that's a great game. But what they really want is Dota. They want
PUBG. You know? Sure. I would be curious, though, if a standalone, like, I know that there have been shots across the bow for this before, but of that actual official video game esports league there is still room for somebody to do that right and make it work, I think.
Yeah, I think the problem with that, though, is that games are just so their own individual brand still that there's no reason to team up.
Right. You know who ought to do it, actually, is just Twitch. Yeah. Like, we're already aggregating all the video of these games that you're already watching, and we're just going to start sponsoring tournaments and make this a real thing.
Yeah. And they're owned by Amazon, so they've got all the money in the world to make that happen.
Right.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to Amazon Prime that idea to Bezos. Get me some of that Twitch money. See you fuckers later.
I mean, I have a Twitch Prime subscription that I have not used yet, Bo. Maybe I could be talked into throwing that your way.
Oh, well, we'll talk after the show.
I guess we should just all sub each other.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, probably so. That would be incestuous, but I'm into that. I like Game of Thrones.
Sure. Video games in the Olympics. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Nor do I care about it happening. Yeah,
it's fine. It's news. I didn't say it was great. If this was great, it would be called great. It wouldn't be called news.
Right.
Now it's time for great.
Just, you know, like, hey, here's an ice cream cone. And meanwhile, your feet will be massaged as you hear a never-before-heard Prince song.
I love great. It's the best.
Yeah, great's great.
Yeah, but instead we have more news, so here we go. Blizzard has returned to the Battle.net name after making what we all called on this show as a horrible mistake by renaming their beloved service something else.
They should send every Battle.net, you know, everyone in the install base for Battle.net $1.50 just for having to go through this bullshit.
Sorry, we made you re-download our client again with a different logo on it.
Right, just...
Yeah, here's a free game.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
Everybody likes Battle.net. Quit fucking around.
Yeah. Is it weird to you guys that Destiny is for sale on Battle.net?
I didn't mention it earlier. I've played some of the Destiny 2 beta because I pre-ordered like a fool. But I don't care.
I'm not going to do it.
There was just no question that I liked Destiny enough that I was going to play Destiny 2. And if I was going to play Destiny 2, I was going to play it in the best possible format.
Yeah.
And I had a great time with it, to be fair. I thought, I mean, it's more Destiny, but shit, it was fun. I had a good time. And you know, eventually I will make you all buy it, or I will just buy it for you.
Oh, I'm going to play it. And unless it comes out to just like, you know, atrocious reviews or something, there's no doubt that I'll pick up some more Destiny. But I just think it's weird that it's for sale on Battle.net. Like, that is kind of the first game they've ever put on that service that was not a Blizzard title.
I think that's right. Yeah. I mean, is that confirmed? Are you looking at something telling you that?
No, not that, but the fact that it's for sale there, you know, I've seen it on the page, obviously. But.
Yeah. It's, you know, certainly, I don't know. I mean, does Activision go to Steam instead? And I mean, if they make it exclusive, I wonder if there's some partnership clearly going on. I wonder if there's some money coming out of
Battle.net's a nice service. Like, it works fine for the games that are on there, so I guess why not, you know? Like, if they want to start, if they want to turn themselves into Steam, like, I have, you know, pretty good feelings that Blizzard could make that work. So
Yeah. I mean, talk about having money.
Yeah.
You know, there's a company that can do whatever they want. So, yeah, maybe they're getting, maybe they're making some deals for distribution, starting to, you know, pump up their pipeline.
Yeah, why not?
Yes. I'm on the page for it. Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's just, you know, it, even just at the only real mention at the very bottom, it's like, you know, buy Activision. You would never even know.
Yeah.
Developed by Bungie, published by Activision. Weird.
Yeah. It's weird. Speaking of Destiny 2, apparently a Destiny streamer was farting around with the input modes on the Destiny 2 beta and discovered that it seems pretty clear that if you have a controller plugged in and you were playing with a controller on PC, it will automatically compensate. It will detect you're using a controller and add aim assist in your game automatically, which is weird.
Yeah. I Justin, you would be proud. I never played Destiny 2 with a controller. I did mouse and keyboard, Destiny 2 for the PC, because I was like, how on earth could you play this game with a controller?
Yeah.
And it plays great on mouse and keyboard, and it was awesome. Good. So heads still pop off real good in that game. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that makes a ton of sense, though.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you throw some aim assist in there? I mean, it sucks if you're, like, if you were playing competitive Destiny and somebody had a controller and was getting
doing
that,
like the arena or something, yeah,
right, you know, and kind of getting that unfair advantage, yeah, that sucks. But you know,
I think I played the multiplayer in the first Destiny one time,
like to get some weekly something or other. I probably did.
I think I just tried it, just like, oh, what is this, and it was just like, oh, like 8-player deathmatch.
Okay. Yeah, kind of uninspired multiplayer, or PvP multiplayer.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't even know if this matters all that much. Like, I don't think people are coming to Destiny for the multiplayer, so.
Yeah, or not the competitive multiplayer. It's more just like, hey, let's everybody crack a beer. We're going to play Destiny and listen to some music and have a good time and kind of chit-chat. And those are great nights. I really enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited to see what they do with it.
It's pretty too, man, on the PC. It looks good.
The tone they're taking with it seems kind of fun. Did you see the live action trailer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, where the dude runs off it to save the puppies or whatever at the end. I mean, it's got a decent tone to it. It's not trying too hard.
Yeah. So. And it you know, I mean, granted the story part of the beta is only so much of Destiny 2, but man, you know, like they're at least trying to tell a story this time around, instead of it just being, hey, here's some shit, I guess.
Yeah, we need to go to this place to do this thing. Why? Hey, look, another thing over here.
Yeah, I mean, like right off the bat, it was like, oh, okay. I mean, I still don't know what the Traveler is or why it's there. I forgot all of that stuff.
I don't know. I have no idea.
At least it was immediately like, oh, somebody's trying to steal that thing. Okay, well, I understand that. Like, I guess we still want that.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, Justin, you're really, like, I could see you getting your hackles bristled over this more than anybody.
I mean, you know, aim assist stuff, you know, if you're trying to compete online, there needs to be a clear division between people who have aim assist and people who don't.
Yeah.
Maybe like just come, you know, just a different mode or something.
Or make it a checkbox. Like, are you willing to play with aim assist players? And I think a lot of people would check that because they would want to go in there and wreck those people. So.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, I know this game kind of feels like you're playing against, you know, AI for the most part.
It is, and yeah.
You want to feel like, you know, like you're doing something special, and that's harder to do with a controller, I would say. You know, anyone who's played for any amount of time with a mouse keyboard can see that you are going to be quicker with a mouse and keyboard inherently. So, you know, it takes a little. I feel like you're just trying to keep people happy. You know, yeah. There's a fine line, and then maybe that's something they can tweak.
Yeah.
In updates and stuff like that.
I have no problem with the option being in there. It's just when you start, like, it's just what Bo was saying. Any sort of competitive thing where you're shooting at each other, it's where it screws it up. But I just don't think that's much of a focus. So who knows? Maybe they'll blow out their multiplayer into something more interesting. But it was a non-event in the first one, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there were people who played it, but I didn't know.
Yeah, I just didn't get into it. I got what I needed.
How long is their beta going for? Do you know?
It's done, isn't it?
I think it wrapped up tonight, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I never got into it. I didn't get a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I just played through the, you know, that early level that they dropped and bounced around in that world a little bit. And I mean, it, again, looked and sounded great, and things, man, things fall apart real good when you shoot them in that game, and that has remained. So I look forward to playing.
It comes out
October 24th-ish?
Yeah, on PC, and it's next week on everything else. It's on Xbox and PS4, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the division there is like, well, you get more shit on PS4.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's definitely ever matters at the very beginning of the campaign, so.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool. It's not long. I'm totally going to wait for the PC version, though.
Yeah, I... After seeing it in action, and it runs a buttery smooth 60 plus. So,
nice.
Man, yeah, I couldn't play it. I think on a PlayStation now and feel like I would always feel like I was living in the shadow of the game I could be playing.
Yeah, that should be cool. Let's see, I already talked about the No Man's Sky patch, Atlas Rises. I included a screenshot there. Because I thought this was an interesting turnaround in the Steam user reviews. It went from mostly negative to their, now that they divide their reviews out so you can get an accurate picture of kind of the game's current state. They've transitioned to very positive. I think it was over 80% positive ratings on it versus like previously it was like 32. So
yeah, well, I mean,
people seem a lot happier with it. So.
And I'm sure that mostly negative rating and, you know, the 79,000 people reviewing it like a year ago when they were good and pissed.
Yeah.
I'm sure that plenty of people dropped reviews then and, you know, God bless them for digging out of that hole. But oof.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting turnaround. I don't recall anything quite that dramatically changing their review, so. I hope they keep expanding on that game. Like, they made a whole shit ton of money and they're starting to kind of garner some goodwill. And I hope they put out something else for it until everybody just kind of realizes, wow, this is a really sweet game. I should get in, you know, and they're not going to make as much on it on the tail end, but I think they're probably still selling copies of that game. I mean, I have no idea how many they are, but this is certainly a way to get some goodwill back on their part. So I hope they finish this game off well and do something interesting, because they're obviously very, very smart game programmers working over there. So I would like to see more.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Some PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds news, which I'm sure everybody was waiting for. We didn't actually talk about playing it this week, so.
Right. In fairness, I felt like we'd front-loaded the show for a couple of episodes with Battlegrounds. Yeah. Let's hit it.
I saw, in addition to this, has overtaken Overwatch as the most popular game in Korean internet cafes. It was also the number one concurrent players on Steam. It beat out Dota, I believe, last week. For the first time,
is now literally bigger than Jesus.
let's do a current check in here. It is number two right now, but its peak today was higher than Dota by almost 100,000 players. So currently, let's see, peak today for Dota 2 was 774,000, and for PUBG was 858,000 people.
Wow!
At one time playing that game.
What a knockout. You know,
it's crazy.
Way to go, guys.
Seriously, it's so simple. It's such a simple concept.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Always is. It always is. It's that just kind of pure nugget of, you know, essential good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done. And so I don't know. Are you? I'm probably jumping ahead, but I do want to.
No,
talk
go ahead.
I want to talk about this map thing real quick.
Yeah.
I think this is a kick-ass idea.
Yes.
Oh, God, it's going to be a nightmare.
Urban map is they've confirmed that is the next map that will come out for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. And it's just that's a giant city. And it looks like it's surrounded by, like, you know, cliffs that are not climbable. So you're just all trapped in the same town. It looks really good. Like, 8-story apartment buildings everywhere. It's just going to be building to building fighting. That's just going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I like that there's a little bit of wilderness outside of everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, someone's going to get out there and post up with, they're going to find an 8X or something and post up out there.
Yep.
And you're just going to be covering a window and all of a sudden you'll be dead. Yep. You know, I mean, you won't even know. And then just the beginning 10 minutes of the game where people are going to land on roofs and just be slaughtering people at rooftop level for a good while. It's just going to be nuts. It's going to be insane.
I like the fire escape trellises and stairs as well. I think that's going to be something that's going to be cool of like, oh, I'm going to try to sneak through this window onto this floor and see what's what. Oh, yeah. I mean, shit. Like, that game's tense enough now. I think this is... Somebody's gonna die.
Just looking at the... Yeah, it looks like there's kind of a river. There's a sketch that made its way onto the internet a couple months ago. And it looks like the screenshot that they've shown matches that sketch almost perfectly. But there's a river that goes around kind of the south and east side, and like some of the things marked on it are stadium. There's a couple little towns off to the side, slums, like sand dunes, desert town. I mean, it looks fucking awesome. I can't wait. And then there's no release date or anything for this that I saw. Yeah.
And I think people are speculating that, you know, there's a lot more reality in this, and they'd kind of shown off some of those newer like vaulting and climbing mechanics.
Yeah, and that's going to be essential for this map.
Exactly. So hopefully we'll get that where we can traverse to different levels just by maybe popping out a window and or something. You know, I don't know. Hopefully whatever the system they have is a nice fluid system and not, you know, janky.
Like vault over handrails on staircases or something as you're going up to kind of shave some time off or something.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Take some stamina or something.
Vehicles should be interesting on this map as well, because it looks like kind of the main streets are like littered with abandoned cars. So, I mean, it could be kind of fun to get a vehicle on here and, you know, cruise over to another part of the city. Like the end circle game is going to be fucking crazy on this map, because a whole building, like an 8-story building, could be inside the circle at the end of a round. So you're just going to be searching through there. Like, I feel like more games might end with everybody dying to the circle, because it'll be difficult to find each other hiding out in buildings or something. So
yeah,
that should be fun.
Cool. It's going to be so crazy. Yeah. It's going to be like the raid.
It is.
Yeah.
The technical term we're looking for is Crazy Town Banana Pants.
Nice. I think that's the show title.
I don't know. I like the one about poop.
All right, fine.
For the highfalutin show, the poop title is the way to go.
Yep, you're right.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. You are right.
Did either of you watch any of the PUBG Invitational? I sadly missed the entire thing.
I
saw the... Go, Bo.
I was just going to say, I got a peek here and there, and most of the time I saw it, it was just like, oh, well, these guys are camping here. So... I didn't catch a good match.
Yeah. I caught the very first match, and that was it. And it was like, it was just, they didn't know what they were doing. Like the camera people and stuff. It was like, oh, and now they're dead. They're having a firefight over there. And it's like, well, get someone to get a camera over there. That's what, you know,
yep.
They were just, it took them a couple games to kind of get their rhythm on how you actually follow people and get that going. But it looked like, and something that's cool, the spectator system looks awesome.
It does. That looks really cool. And I cannot wait until they add the replay.
The replay system. And I imagine it's just going to be that, you know, you'll have those basically same basic controls. So that's going to be really cool. Really cool. I can't wait to go back and see how I died finally.
Yep. Like learn from the mistakes. Exactly.
Yeah. And you got to think you'll be able to export, maybe chop some of that up, you know, pretty easily inside of all that. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm pumped about that.
Yeah. What was the DayZ news that you included here?
So they had like a mini, they had like a version of DayZ that's all in the new engine with the new player controller. And it was only like a portion of the map that they've also updated. If you roll through there, there's several videos, but basically, after what, 10, 15 years of Bohemia Interactive development, you can fall. You can fall from a height and not break your leg and die. Like the second or third video down is like a guy jumping off of the second floor of a building that you're very familiar with, the farmhouse.
Yep.
That where you've probably broken your leg.
He rolls.
Yeah, and it's super fluid. The all the character stuff is awesome now. You can actually
his punch knees bend.
And the falling stuff is great. There's a video a little bit further down where you see a guy doing, you know, jabs and stuff. So they're adding in, you know, the stuff that they've been saying they're working on.
Saw a GIF of this one where they're kind of showing off the, what do they call the, it's a word that starts with K. Kinesthetic.
Inverse kinesthetics.
Yeah. Where it's like your character has bones and they, when you twist it, you know, you obviously can't twist past a certain point. You would have to move your leg. So the character just moves his leg naturally. And like the transitions to laying down and stuff look really cool. It looks very smooth.
They've spent a lot of time making that as smooth as possible. So yeah, that stuff's cool. They've got a whole new kind of inventory system, which they were showing off, changed a lot of controls, which is weird. You now there's sort of this thing called fluid interaction where you like, if you say you have a box of ammo, you can no longer right click on it and say, unpack that ammo. You have to take it in your hand. You have to hold F and then you get a prompt to hold, I think it's a left mouse button. Yeah. And Jesus then Christ. Your guy takes the bullets out of the box and
he'll
put them in the backpack. And then you put the magazine in your hand and you have to do the same thing, but he physically loads bullet, 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 bullet. It's, you know, and the guy's like, oh, I've got like a 30 round mag and he's just holding it for like, you know, 45 seconds.
Man.
So
I'm not sure that's fun.
But that's DayZ is what that is.
That's DayZ.
The game is so far up its own ass. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So some crazy stuff. The interaction system seems pretty cool what they've come up with. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, that should be a trademark phrase by now. We'll see. Hey, did you guys see this Lego Millennium Falcon thing that's got like 7,500 pieces? Holy shit.
Doesn't it cost like 7,500?
I don't know.
Bitcoin?
I don't know how much it costs, but this is not game related at all. I just thought this was cool as fuck. There is a super detailed Millennium Falcon coming out from Lego that has 7,500 pieces in the kit.
It really is crazy.
It looks awesome, dude.
And yeah, it's the biggest model ever sold. Ever. Lego. The
biggest Lego model ever sold. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
As a grown man, I really, really want one of these way more than I should.
Yeah, I don't see a price on it. Although the title of the article suggests that it's expensive, and one would presume it is. But
yeah,
there's
Legos
no price.
Crazy expensive anyway, but.
Yeah, boy, they cornered the market on Legos.
Man, yeah. I can't tell you as a Star Trek fan how horrible it is to want Lego Star Trek things, because it's like Creo is the company that has the Star Trek license, and they're like Mega Blocks, like the Legos for like 4 year olds.
Nobody it's wants horrible. Mega Blocks. To parents out there listening to the Shadcast, don't ever buy Mega Blocks.
Just right. buy Legos.
Unless you want your child to be a serial killer.
Yeah. Just don't do it. Like if you're going to Toys R Us to get it's Saturday morning at like 11:30, you're taking your kid to a birthday party for some kid you don't know, and you're on your way to Toys R Us that morning to grab a present really quick because you're running late, and just buy Legos. Just go pick up a Lego thing, and that's it. That's all you got to do. It's so easy, and people just fuck it up all. Oh, Mega Blocks. Great.
Right. Yeah. Like, Eugene, why are you hurting the cat? It's because of the Mega Blocks, mother.
The blocks told me to do it.
I didn't get real Legos when I was a kid. That's why I killed all those people.
Dr. Lecter, the killer's leaving. Mega Blocks in the anal orifice.
And yeah, seriously, there's your next script for you there, Bo. Mega Blocks, Mega Block Killer.
Why do we first kill Clarice? Because we covet. it would be amazing.
This one. I don't remember the circumstances of this. I found this article like 3 weeks ago. Some dude playing Call of Duty in his house. And had his AR-15 fully loaded, sitting in his lap, and shot it through his neighbor's wall. Nobody was hurt.
Yeah, this is a real...
Has that been in Tennessee, I believe?
I think so.
There's not too many Murfreesboros in the
that's right. That's
planet Earth, so... Yeah.
According to the Murfreesboro Police Department, Aaron's on-screen persona was using a weapon similar to the AR-15, so one can assume he was feeling particularly inspired by his digital weapon loadout.
I mean, as much as this sounds like this could be me,
oh yeah,
it wasn't.
Aaron,
I do it with an airsoft gun. Okay,
don't,
so there's no
don't load your no, gun unless you're going to shoot it.
Hey, that's the real lesson.
Yeah. Don't point your gun at anything you don't intend to destroy, and don't load your gun unless you're going to shoot it. Two simple rules. Yeah.
Wish there was just a video camera on that wall. I wish this guy had been a dreamer.
I'm surprised. The fact that he wasn't is the more surprising thing.
That's true.
You know?
The police charged 21-year-old Aaron Curtis with misdemeanor reckless endangerment for the careless handling of his loaded firearm, which he legally owned. All in all, both parties are extremely lucky nobody was hurt in the incident. We can only hope that Aaron and other gaming enthusiasts take this lesson to heart. At the time of this writing, it still isn't clear how the gun was accidental. I'll tell you, he put his finger on the trigger and pulled it. That's how the gun went off.
He released the safety on the left side. The AR-15. Placed his finger on the trigger, pulled it.
And pulled it.
And discharged the weapon into the wall.
I know exactly how it went off.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
That's a whole different question.
Well, I mean, that's pretty obvious, too. Yeah.
Can I tell you guys the saddest part of this article?
Is this your neighbor? Did he shoot through your wall?
No. Although, I mean, let's face it, this is where I'm headed. When in the article it is all right, so the blind round went through to his elderly neighbor's apartment at a low trajectory and nearly missed the neighbor's pet dog, which was described by the 75-year-old woman as her best friend. Oh, that breaks my heart
right there.
This article's full of all kinds of gold, man.
That is just the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
Shout out to Gamerant.com for this story.
She's living in one of these college apartment places next to this jerk who's playing Call of Duty with an M4 in his lap. Poor lady.
Sorry, if you go down to the bottom of the article, there's a link to News Channel 5 where there's video that I hadn't seen. It's the local news report. I'm the one
that's here. Yep, that's here.
Yep. Yep. So let's see. News Channel 5.com. The title of the story is Man Plays Video Game with Loaded Gun on His Lap. It fires into neighbor's apartment. You can watch the local Tennessee news talk about.
You know that dog is like 14, can barely see.
Yeah.
And she is secretly hoping she dies before it does.
Yep. Yep.
Can I say you got to watch the video? Because they got the real good guy who's real animated to literally stand outside where these people live. And he's like pointing at the window where the kid was sitting. He's like, now he was here. And then he points to the other window.
He's doing the crime scene restoration.
Yeah. And he's like, and the bullet went from here. And then he kind of, you know, puts his arm against the wall and walks across over to here. Like, wow. You know? I never could have imagined that without your wonderful explanation.
Police say his case is a good example of how important it is to responsibly handle all weapons. No shit.
Oh, there's the dog.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that dog. Oh, literally God. Dodged a bullet. Yeah. All right,
I'm going to turn that off.
All right, yeah, sorry. Sorry, listeners, but you have to understand, right. This is, yeah, we're doing a show, but here in our own backyard, this dumbass nearly murdered this poor old woman's best friend, aka
Sprinkles.
The dumb animal that loves her because she feeds him.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I knew I put that story in here for a reason.
Man.
Yeah.
I swear to God, this, I can't believe this wasn't a movie directed by John Cassavetes. Keeping it highbrow.
Yep. The last thing I put on here was just a link to a bunch of release dates, upcoming stuff. I thought we
might just kind of go around the horn here.
Sure.
Starting at September. Like, yeah. Give me a game you're excited about here coming up.
Destiny 2.
Sure.
Cuphead.
Cuphead is kind of my big one for September.
Yeah, September 29th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Project Cars 2, that looks kind of good.
That looks pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of sports stuff. 'Tis the season for that, though.
Sure.
Maybe I was going to say this Metroid, but that's 3DS, so I don't really know what that's all about.
I've got access to one of those now.
Right. I saw that as well. I was like, maybe. Mm-hmm. All right. What about October? This was when shit gets real. That's Destiny PC.
Well, yeah,
Wolfenstein.
Yeah, Forza Motorsport is something I'm super interested in. I want to talk everybody into buying that on PC so we can all race together, because I thought that was super fun when we did that on. Fuck, I don't even remember which Forza that was. It was on 360.
Oh, yeah, that's probably like Forza 3?
3 or 4, maybe, yeah. Yeah, that was a while ago. But yeah, I haven't bought a good driving game in a long time, so that one definitely stands out to me.
Shadow of War, I think.
Yeah. It looks real cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Super Mario Odyssey is going to be a big one.
Yeah, I'm psyched for that Wolfenstein, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm in on that Mario game just yet, but... South Park, I you know what? I don't care. That last game I thought was real funny. I'll give it a shot.
I never finished it, and I should go back and do that, because what I played of it was fucking hilarious. So I think I burned out on the mechanics of it before anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And that story does go places. What about November? November we got... Well, Crackdown 3, fuck. I don't think that's happening, right?
Didn't that they pushed? Delayed that.
Yeah. Battlefront 2?
Yeah. Call of Duty World War 2, I watched somebody play that, and it was like it looks nice, like the latest Call of Duties do, but they pulled out all of the things that kind of have made the franchise what it is lately, and it's like a real basic cut. Like, I think they turned it into Modern Warfare again. Like, they've gone back to real basic stuff with kill streaks, and
It's weird.
The video I watched, the guy was comparing it to like Battlefield 1, and you just can't. I don't think that's a comparison that should be made at all, because they're very different games.
Super Lucky's Tale, guys.
Finally fleshed out, coming to PC.
Yeah, I'm actually psyched for the Need for Speed Payback as well.
Oh, yeah, that I do want to see that.
Yeah.
I still play Hot Pursuit. I love that game.
Yeah.
That
Call of Duty game, I saw a video of it as well, and I missed the front end of it, so I didn't know what game I was watching. And it was it was the segment where like somebody's repairing a bridge or something.
Yes, and there was just, it was the giant bomb video. I think both watched. Yep.
And so there was just this incessant, like, you know, we've got to build this bridge.
Yeah, we've got to repair the bridge. Repaired.
Yeah, which was kind of irritating, but because I missed the front end of it, I when I was watching the game, I thought it was a free to play game.
Yeah, it was not super impressive.
I was like, oh well, that looks like every shooter.
Yeah.
Well, their engine they've been overdue to just overhaul the engine that they use for. Going to take the time and do it.
Yeah.
Well, and part of it too was just like, this looks so completely uninspired. There's nothing to differentiate this other than the Call of Duty name.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like much of anything to me.
Honestly, that's kind of the way I feel about that whole series. Like, I haven't bought a Call of Duty game in years.
Boy, that Modern Warfare, though, that was something.
Yep.
That was a great game.
Yeah.
Still is. I've gone back to I have the Steam version of it, and I've played it every once in a while, and it's just a good shooter. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm far more excited for Battlefront 2, just to see what they do with that. See if I can get in a vehicle without standing on a token.
Oh, boy. Your lips to God's ear, right?
Yeah. But, then this... that's it for what we've got on this list here. December looks to be a pretty light month at the moment. So,
I don't know. We'll see what's coming down the pipe at some point. No. You know, God.
I feel like a lot of the stuff that we just said that we're interested in are all. I mean, these are big games. These are all potential Game of the Year candidates. So,
oh sure, like I'm real excited.
There's a lot of shit to play at the end of this year. So,
I strangely that the more as time has gone on. Shadow of War, I've gotten more and more excited about.
Yeah.
For no good reason.
There's nothing else like that game coming out, I think.
Yeah.
Like, give me a good hack and slash, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to be able to just straight up murder trolls. Just
fuck dudes up, yeah.
Ride a dragon.
Yep. Yeah, it looks cool. But that is it. That is the news.
All right. Well, thank you as always, Sean. Before we leave you, gentle listeners, reminding us all again, we're doing a show. We like to take it around the table one final time to talk about what we are looking forward to playing in the coming week. Well, 2 weeks, Fortnite. Justin, how about you? What are you excited about playing?
I'm going to try and spend some more time with the Vital VR and see if I can't. A little better at that.
All right. I've come close on that one a couple of times, but I need to get a more comfy chair for the VR situation.
I found a knockoff DX Racer chair on Amazon that is fairly popular and has some pretty good ratings. It's like half the price of one of those DX Racer chairs. I've been eyeballing that shit. Yeah. I'll send you the link.
Yeah. I was about to say, shoot me that link. I'm curious.
I'll put it on the Facebook page.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Way to use our brand.
Share the love. Here's a chair.
Hey, you know what's great for sitting in? Chairs.
What's that, Bo?
Good old fashioned chairs.
Y'all like chairs?
But Bo, like the chairs that I have at home just don't cut it anymore.
Yeah, that's gonna happen because you got a fat ass. Get yourself a new chair. Here's a link.
Yeah. Buy a bigger chair. You can get a bigger ass for that chair.
You can get oversized comforters. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. And first of all, comforters are not chairs. That's an important part of the joke I screwed up. John, what about you? What are you going to be playing?
I'll probably play a little more of that Black the Fall and just kind of see if it opens up at all. Like I said, it's not Inside, which is one of my favorite games, but seems interesting. I'll probably dip into... I'm playing a bunch of things off and on. Like, I went back to Mad Max a little bit. I pulled out Mark of the Ninja, which is an old clay game, and I've kind of just been playing through, like, old stuff in my library lately, so...
Yeah. Mark of the Ninja is a good game.
It's a fucking great game.
I need to play
Mark
of
the Ninja. Oh my god. So good. Yeah. And that's kind of like a Metroid. It's not even a Metroidvania style. It's just like a cool stealth. I don't even know what to compare it to.
In a weird way, it's almost like an action puzzle game.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Of like, I need to do this and this and this and this in this order. And I've also got to execute it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it's just one of those kind of perfect games. Like, there's really nothing about it that I don't like.
Yeah, it's just a...
And, yeah.
A total video game-ass video game.
Yeah, and it's, like, the right amount of difficulty. Like, if you understand the capabilities of the character in that game, you can pretty much accomplish anything in it. It's just a matter of becoming familiar with... how things work. Yeah, that's a good one. So that recently found its way back into my library. And I also tried out, I played like the first hour of Salt and Sanctuary, which is kind of a like a Souls style game, roguelike sort of a deal. So I just dipped very briefly into that, but it was pretty cool. I might dig a little more into that. I'm not a big Souls game style guy, but that was kind of cool. So yeah, I've got a ton of shit in here I just haven't gotten very deep into yet. So before some of these big games come out, I want to try to dig a little further into those.
All right, right on. Mark of the Ninja now in my library as well. Or downloading again. Yeah, as soon as you say it, I was like, yeah, Mark of the Ninja.
It's a great game to go back to every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. And now that I've got the little Steam Link... box in the living room. That'd be a fun couch game, actually.
Yep. You could get one of them chairs. Sit in that.
Get you a chair. Sit in it and watch stuff. That's my guide to life, really. So I will certainly be playing more of the Mario and Rabbit stuff, but that is definitely gonna be the, like, hey, I'm going to play 20, 30 minutes of something before bed. That is where that game's going to fit. I'll finish up Uncharted. And, you know, I've been trying to do some single-player runs on the PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds because I haven't played multiplayer in a while. I feel like I'm losing my chops. So I've been playing a couple of single-player rounds and getting murdered. But it's been... it's definitely like I'm starting to up my game some, so I feel good about that.
Playing first person?
No, not yet.
You better just do it.
Yeah, try it, man. It's real good.
All right.
It's real good.
You won't get murdered quite as bad.
It levels the playing field.
It does.
Yep.
All right. I'll give it a shot. And probably some other stuff. I've been kind of in the same kind of mood, John, where I've been like I played like the first hour and a half of XCOM, the like 2K XCOM from a few years ago. Just no good reason. Just like, man, I just kind of want to play some XCOM. I was also thinking about that Mario Rabbids game. And still, I always fall into that trap of like naming the squad. Like if you make it through one mission, I'll bother to name you. I don't waste it.
I play with the exact same rules.
And
you gotta earn it. You gotta earn your name. Right now, you're a soldier. Your name is Grunt.
Yeah, you are Grist for the Mill is what you are until you prove that you can make it through. But I name them after like people I know, and I gotta say, Justin McFerrin, fucking nailing it. Nailing it.
Duh.
Yeah. Hitting them low percentage shots. Which I should have never taken in the first place, but man.
But you did.
I did, and it worked out. It felt good.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I look. That's why you got the name. No. You ended up Assault and Power Listener, and he was support, so I haven't used him much.
I'm maimed in the med bay with no arms and no legs, something like that.
Oh, you took some hits. I think. Well, somebody did. I don't know. I played it last weekend for a little bit and haven't touched it since. But you know, that game's still super fun. Turns out that's a great game.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm with you.
Yeah. So that'll do it for us this time around. If you enjoyed the show, please, folks, hit up iTunes or wherever it is that you get the podcast. Leave us a rating and a review. And most importantly, tell somebody you know if you're enjoying the show and they like video games or, you know, highbrow comedy like you've heard tonight. You know, let them in on the secret, which is to believe in something and then it will become.
Did you do like a Doug Henning hand motion?
I kind of did. And thanks for pulling Doug Henning there.
I wanted you to not have to look so hard for show art. So because there's a picture of him holding a fushigi ball up in the air. I'm certain of it.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Anything's possible in the world of illusion. I miss Doug Henning. Anyway. But folks, thanks again for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks with more video game talk and further shenanigans. Until then, say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Pip pip. Cheerio. Should we all tip our hats?
Yeah. After you, Justin.
No. I couldn't go. You must after you. I just couldn't leave before you.
Going first would be quite absurd. After you, sir.
No, I insist.
By Jove.